NanoHub U, online instruction.
All right, so now let's talk about the third part of today's lecture. We want to understand in what situation should we choose regularization and what situation should we not choose regularization, and what is the role of lambda. So the question that here we want to know is whether choosing regularization is a pill or is a poison. Now, regularization requires you to do two things. One is your regularization function omega h, and then the other one is your regularization parameter lambda. And the choice of your omega h is purely heuristic. You can choose this W transpose W, or you can choose the one norm of W. That is totally up to you. So choice of the omega h is really heuristic. And finding the perfect omega is sometimes as difficult as finding a perfect h. Now I want to differentiate the problem of doing regularization in learning compared to doing regularization in optimization problem. In typical optimization problem, you know where the signal is coming from. For example, it comes from a sparse model. However, in the actual learning problem, when you have a set of data points, you indeed do not know where does the data points come from. And so choosing the omega becomes a very tricky problem. And so if you want to find the perfect omega, it's as difficult as trying to find the perfect hypothesis set. And therefore, it will cause some difficulty. Some forms of regularization works and some do not. And that is purely based on our experience. If you use too little regularization, then you will run into the problem of underfitting. If you use too much regularization, then you will have an underfitting problem. If you use too little regularization, you'll run into the problem of overfitting. Then you ask, why bother to use regularization if, one, that choosing the perfect omega is very difficult, and two, I need to carefully choose my lambda in order to have a good fitting. That just seems to give me a lot of difficulty, and why should we actually consider using regularization? Now, regularization is actually a necessary evil. What do I mean? Well, it is something that is not good. If you try to measure in terms of the bias and variance, especially the bias, is introducing bias. However, it seems to be the necessary tool to handle the situation, because when you do not have enough training points, or when you have a lot of noise, and there's no other ways that you can handle the situation. And therefore, regularization will give you a tool to mitigate the limited number of training data points and also the presence of noise. And if we apply the regularization, then we have a chance of solving the problem. So while regularization itself has many, many limitations, in particular, you need to choose a good lambda, and also you need to choose a good omega h, these two problems seem to be very, very difficult. However, even in the presence of these difficulties, we still want to choose regularization because there is a bigger difficulty in terms of limited number of training points and also the noise. So let's talk about overfit and underfit. Suppose you have a 15th order polynomial. Let's say it is a H15. And then you have a choice of two regularizations. One is WQ square. I call it a uniform choice of a regularization. The other one is a low order regularization that takes the form of WQ square. And then you have a Q. Now Q, of course, is a running index. As Q goes from 0 to 15, as Q becomes bigger and bigger, you put a more and more emphasis, you put a more and more a penalty to the W. So what will happen is that you're going to penalize more on the higher order of the Qs. And therefore, I call it the low order regularization because it prefer low order polynomials. So if lambda is too small, then you run into the problem of overfitting. Something that we have seen before. If lambda is too large, then you have a problem of underfitting. So I want to draw attention to the interplay between your lambda and also your omega h. Okay. So here you have your omega h, your omega. Your omega is uniform versus a low order. And here is a uniform regularization, and then here is a low-order regularization. What I want to demonstrate is that there is an interaction between your lambda and also your choice of the regularization. If you choose a high order versus you choose a uniform versus choose a low order regularization, they will have two different sets of lambdas. Let's look at the situation here. Both curves, they are showing you the expected outsample error or the testing error. The curve here is showing you the uniform regularization, where when your lambda is smaller than certain value, then because the lambda there is too small, then you have an overfitting that's happening. Okay? Now, as your lambda approach to the optimum point, let's say here, then the overfitting will be minimized and you get the optimum solution in terms of the testing error. As you further increase the lambda, you will have an underfitting problem because you are over penalizing your solution. If you change the scenario to the low order regularization, you will also have a curve that looks like this. It goes down and then it goes up. However, you can see that because you're choosing a low order regularization, the shape of that function becomes a lot different than the curve I'm showing you here. So you will drop very, very, very rapidly. Because why? Because most of all these Qs, they are just already very big, and therefore the Ws that you get out from this regularization, they are typically small already. And so you just need to have a small lambda just to control the first few coefficients, and then you will be able to reach a very, very good solution. However, as you increase the lambda, you will end up having an overfitting problem. Now, although these two curves look very different, meaning that the optimum lambdas associated with this curve and then this curve, you can look at the optimum lambda, one is here, the other one is there. These two lambdas, they are different. However, you realize that the overall, the error associated with these two optimum points, they are not that different. So that goes to the question of can we talk about what will happen if you choose a wrong regularization? But before we do that, let's also talk about the noise and also the target complexity. So let's try to analyze the impact of regularization to noise. So suppose you have uncertainty in the measurement data that's measured in terms of sigma squared. And suppose you have, if we have noise, then you need to adjust your lambda depending on this noise level. And you also have this target complexity. Suppose the data comes from H15, but you use a H50, and that's measured in terms of the order of polynomial, which is defined as Q of F. Like noise, you need to adjust the lambda to optimize the generalization. Okay, so here I'm showing you two curves, two sets of curves that corresponding to the phenomenon of having noise and different target complexity. So here, there is a fixed amount of noise of sigma equals to 0.5, 0.25, and 0. And then here you have a target, a complexity of 100 order polynomial, 15 order polynomial, 30 order polynomial. So what these two sets of curves shows is the same story as what I'm showing in the previous slide. In the previous slide, what I'm doing is that I'm showing you what will happen if I choose a different regularization function, and then what will happen to my lambda. In this set of curves, what I'm showing you here is that if you change the noise and also the target complexity, what will happen to your lambda? What you can see in this diagram is that when you change the noise level, that is the amount of noise in your training data. As you change that, the curve will also change, and therefore your optimum lambda will move from one point to another. It's interesting to realize that when sigma is zero, then the optimum lambda that you need to use will be at zero. Now, here is showing you another set of curves that is changing with respect to the target complexity. So suppose the underlying target function has a 15th order polynomial, and then it goes to 30, it goes to 100, then you also need to choose a different lambda with respectively, so that you can get the optimum, training, testing error. So what will happen if I pick a wrong regularization? So suppose we should encourage to use a low order coefficient, but the regularization somehow it promotes a high order coefficient. Then are we is it the end of the day then that we cannot solve the problem? No, you can still control your regularization parameter lambda in order to choose a good regularization. So here is an example. So here you have the weight decay function. Okay, so weight decay, that is the soft constraint approach that I'm suggesting. And then here you have the weight growth approach. Now, weight decay says that I would prefer to use the low order coefficients and I want to reject all the high order coefficients. Weight growth says that I want to prefer the high order coefficients and I want to reject the low order coefficients. And so clearly, weight growth is a very, very bad choice of the regularization compared to weight decay. Now, because you have the choice of the lambda, you can tune up to find the optimum lambda for both cases. If you have a way to find this optimum lambda, then weight decay, of course, it would be better than weight growth. But when you choose the optimum weight growth curve, this is a weight growth curve, you choose the optimum lambda, then optimum lambda at this point is actually not too bad from the optimum lambda of the weight decay. Of course, the weight decay is still better, but it's not that bad if you can choose the optimal lambda. So the interaction between lambda and also the regularization function, that is very important. You cannot just say that I want to just choose the regularization function and ignore the choice of the lambda. And so we ask, then how do we choose the regularization function and also the regularization parameter? We want to choose using a technique called a validation, which we will discuss in the next lecture. So to summarize, we have seen the regularization technique. We have gone through two very simple approaches. One is using the constraint. The other one is using the augmented error. Now, you can also try to use anything that we have learned before in this course by using one norm or other types of regularizations that you may want. Using regularization can significantly improve your learning in the presence of noise and also when you do not have enough data and when the target is complex. So that I can give you a hand-waving argument. Why regularization is useful? So you can think that noise is a high-frequency component. And also complex target function is also high frequency because noise you have a lot of fluctuations and then target complexity also usually refers to a lot of fluctuations in your model. And therefore, if you choose a regularization, for example, you choose a soft constraint using the weight decay, then you're actually promoting the low frequency regularization. So that will actually help you to combat against the overfitting problem. So as long as you have chosen a good lambda, then overfitting can be mitigated using the regularization. And modern deep learning usually incorporate regularization. For example, if you can regularize the magnitude of your neural network or the number of non-zeros through sparsity, normally you will get a much more robust deep neural network. So here's the reading list for today's lecture. And I encourage you to take a look at this chapter 4.2 of the textbook.